Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13, the Bible says this, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." I want to preach to you this morning about a better country. The title of our message, Looking for a Better Country. Let's go back just a little bit here. The Apostle Paul is the one who most people think wrote the book of Hebrews. He wrote it to Jewish people who were under the Roman government. Understand this, at the time the Jews did not have their own country to call home. They were living in the area called Palestine, but it wasn't theirs. It wasn't called Israel. It was not their country. It belonged to Rome. Paul reminded them, if he's the one that wrote this book, God, through the writing of the book of Hebrews, reminded the Jewish people that Abraham had left his country to follow God. He had left his home country and he followed God even though he had no idea where God was leading him. There's a whole other message in that. We won't take the time on that. But Abraham, by faith, followed God even though he didn't know where he was going to end up. That's what faith is. Faith is just saying, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I really don't even know where it's going to end, but I'm along for the ride and God, I'll do it. That's what Abraham did. Paul made clear that he was looking forward to a better country. I personally think that it was Paul that wrote Hebrews, and that's why I'm using this as an introduction. But think about this. Paul had been attacked by his own countrymen, and he'd been thrown in Jerusalem, I'm sorry, in prison in Jerusalem. Eventually, Paul was a prisoner in a Roman dungeon. In the end of his life, he was beheaded under the rule of the emperor Nero. So it makes sense in Paul's case, he was looking forward to a better country. You know, I don't believe there's any better country on earth than the United States of America. And I mean that. I'm proud to be an American, but I think more than proud, I'm thankful to be an American. I love my freedom. I thank God for my freedom. I don't thank Him enough, but I thank God for my freedom. I appreciate those who provide for my freedom and have provided for my freedom. I appreciate those who defend my freedom. But as a citizen of the United States of America, and just as the pilgrims left Europe to find freedom here, I'm a pilgrim looking for a better country. Now, I promise you, I guess I can't promise you because I haven't been to all of them, but I don't think you'd find a better country ever anywhere than you are in right now, the United States of America. I know we've got our problems and we've got all kinds of challenges going on, but we've got freedom. And we've got a freedom to have the Word of God. We've got a freedom to gather just like we are right now. And we can sing out loud. We don't have to whisper whenever we're singing our songs about the Savior. I read an email. This was a couple years ago. I read an email from a pastor and he said, "What did you do yesterday getting ready for your church service?" He said, "I imagine if you were like me, you tested out your sound system. If you were like me, you made sure everything outside the front doors of the building was set up just right. And you made it just right, just ready for church. You tested the volume and you probably even had maybe the choir come in and practice singing." And he said, "You'd be very much like me, except that I adjusted our sound system to make sure it was quiet enough that the authorities couldn't hear it so that we could worship in secret. And I went outside to check just to make sure it wasn't obvious that we had a church here because we didn't want to be caught. We didn't want to be arrested while we were serving the Lord." And we need to remember that there are places like that all around our world still that don't have the freedom like we have. I love being an American, but listen, I'm looking for a better country. And I know that there is a better country, and we're not talking about a country on this earth, but we're talking about a heavenly country. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 again, the Bible says these, talking about Abraham and Sarah, talking about Noah, talking about Abel and Enoch, all the way back, talking about these Old Testament saints, the Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I just don't feel at home in this world anymore. The Bible says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire, here it is, a better country. That is, an heavenly. Looking for a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What do people have that are seeking a better country? What are they like? What describes them? Well, first of all, they have faith. They have faith. The Bible says that these all died in faith. They never saw God, but they lived for him. Abel never saw God. The Bible gives him the description of him. It's in chapter 11, verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So he offered the sacrifice to God. He'd never seen God. His parents had, Adam and Eve, had walked with God, and they had talked with God, but because of their sin, God didn't come back and spend time with them like he used to. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Abel never saw God, but he offered the right sacrifice. A little bit later, there's another man named Enoch. He never saw God, but pleased God by believing in him and diligently seeking him, the Bible says, and spending time with him. Noah never saw God, but obeyed his voice by building an ark. You've got Abraham, who the Bible says these all died in faith. Abraham never saw God, but obeyed when he was told to leave his family and go to a place that he had never been to before. The Bible says these all died in faith. What do people have that are seeking a better country? They have faith. Now, you and I have never seen God, but we have faith that he'll keep his word. We have faith that Jesus did die on the cross as our substitute to pay for our sins. We have faith that God does love the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, you and I, we are very similar to them. Now, these died in faith, having never seen God, looking forward to the Savior. Now, we can live by faith in a God that we have never seen. We have faith that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We have faith that those who are alive and remain, the Bible says, will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We call that the rapture. And we have a faith. And listen, as you're seeking a better country and you're living this life and you're a pilgrim on this journey and you don't really belong here and this world isn't our home and we don't fit in here really well, listen, you can have a faith based on the promises of God. And understand this, the amount of your faith is not the key factor in this. Somebody might say, well, I don't know if I have enough faith. Or somebody might say, I don't know if my faith is good enough. Well, the amount of your faith isn't the key factor. And I'll say this as well, the quality of your faith isn't the main factor. You might say, I don't know if my faith's good enough. I don't know if I have a good enough faith or a high enough quality of faith. Is that going to be enough? But let me tell you, it's the object of your faith that matters. The important thing is that you put your faith in the person who can deliver on his promises, and that is Jesus Christ. If you can get this, this is going to help you. Because a lot of people say, you know, back, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but it was a long time ago. I was young at the time. This is my testimony. I don't know that I really understood. I don't know if I had enough faith. I don't know if I had the quality of faith, the right kind of faith. That's not the issue. The issue is, who are you putting your faith in? And if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are very much like these. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What do people that seek a country have? They have faith. They also have a promise. The Bible says they have not yet received the promises, but they see the promises and they believe the promises and they embrace the promises. Now, there's so many promises in this Bible right here. It wasn't just for them back then. It wasn't just for Abel Abel and Abraham. Those are the ones I'm trying to think of. Abel and Abraham, and you've got Enoch mentioned here. And if you go through the chapter of Hebrews, you got Isaac and Jacob and Moses. It wasn't just for them. There's promises for you. Look at verse number 13 again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What do? They receive the promises. They see the promises. They believe the promises. And they embrace the promises. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to help you see the promises of God. I want to help you to believe the promise of God. I want to help you to embrace the promise of God. Because that's what people looking for a better country do. They have faith and they have a promise and they embrace that promise. Jesus said this, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That was a promise of God. Jesus Christ made the promise. He was going to leave, but he's going to come back. And he's going to receive you unto himself. What an amazing promise that is. Christ's return is closer now than it has ever been. Okay, so that's really not that deep of a statement, right? It's just, it's later now than it's ever been. But his return is closer now than it has ever been. And stop and think about this for a moment. When you just look at the news and you compare Scripture with the current events, and you can see how soon Christ's return is. I want to challenge you to take God at his word and believe this promise. I want you to be able to make this promise your own. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Did you realize you have a promise? Abraham had a promise. Enoch had a promise. Abel had a promise. These Old Testament saints, they had a promise. But you have a promise. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back and I'm going to receive you unto myself. Have you ever wanted to be accepted? I want to be accepted. In fact, I hate not being accepted. If you're in a room and somebody's talking to somebody else and they kind of like a whisper, does anybody ever else think they're talking about you? Or am I the only one that thinks that? I want to be accepted. And I want them to, you know, say, hey, buddy, come on over here. Be part of our clique or club or whatever. You talk with us. I want to be accepted. Think about this. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He wants you. He will come. He will receive you. It's a promise for you. I want you to understand the promise, receive the promise, see the promise, believe the promise, and embrace that promise. Make this promise your own. When life is hard, embrace this promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself. When the future looks dark, embrace this promise. When circumstances of life hurt, claim this promise as your own. I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's so many promises in the Bible. I'm just going to give you three this morning. Another promise is this. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I don't know all the details of what's going on in your life, but I know this is a promise that you can take. And this is a promise that you can claim. And you can face each day with this promise, because as you go through the day, you can realize, I'm not going through the day by myself. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've got a friend. He walks with me, talks with me. What an amazing promise this is. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Just three simple promises. But what an amazing promise this is. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What an amazing promise of eternal life. What an amazing promise of eternal security. They shall never perish. And what an amazing promise of eternal protection. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They have a promise. There are so many promises in this book. There's so many promises here for you. And listen, if you are seeking a better country, you have faith. You can have a promise. The Bible says these people who are seeking a better country, they had a faith, they had a promise. They had a confession. They had a confession. What did they confess? We'll look at verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. What did they confess? That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's kind of quite a confession. To make this confession, you know, I really don't belong here. This is not my country. This is, and I'm thankful to be an American and understand this. But this is, there's more than this. It's not just this. I don't just live to be a successful American. I want to be a successful Christian. And that's why I can sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." There's something greater than this. They had a confession that they're strangers on this earth. What's that mean? Well, you can take it lots of different ways, but they don't worship the styles and fads of the culture that they live in. You and I are Christians. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, we really don't belong here. When you walk through the mall or you walk through the public high school and you look around and you realize, I'm different than these people. God has called me to live different. God has called me to dress different. God has called me to talk different and act different. I don't fit in here. I don't belong here. I know we're all people, but these are not my people. We're different than this. This is not what I want. This is not where I feel comfortable. When I walk through the mall, I don't feel comfortable sometimes. There's some stores and they're pumping out their music and I don't. Well, I'm walking by the. I'm trying to think of the best way to say this and be appropriate. I'm walking by the store and the music's pumping out. And here's what music does: it just kind of makes you want to walk to the beat, right? And you walk. That's probably not the beat that was playing. That's more like a hick kind of a, you know, darn, darn, darn. But the music will kind of, you step to it. Whenever there's a beat going on, there's a rhythm, you step to the rhythm, and I fight it. I fight it. And I'll walk, and sometimes I might look kind of stiff, and my wife might think I'm kind of look like an idiot, but I'll fight the music. I don't want to walk to that beat of that drummer. I don't belong here. They confess that they're strangers on the earth. They don't worship the styles and the fads of the culture that they live in. They don't spend too much time worrying about fitting in. Listen, if you're a stranger here, it doesn't matter if you fit in. I want to be a Christian. Now, I don't try not to fit in. You may look at the way I dressed myself this morning and think, yeah, you may not do so good. But it's not like I try to look like an idiot or like a buffoon, right? I don't try to. I ask my wife, does this match? You know, stuff like that. But that's not my goal. If my goal is to fit into this world, I'm not gonna be able to live the way God wants me to live, because that's different. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. We're different than this earth. They had a confession. I don't belong here. I'm a pilgrim here. I'm looking for a better country. There's another place where I'm going to be going. I remember whenever I was, I would have been about 15 years old, maybe 16 years old. My school had a junior and senior banquet. I would have been probably 15. I was a sophomore in high school. The banquet was for the juniors and the seniors, but the sophomores were the ones that were putting on this banquet for them. I don't know why we even did it, but that we did it, okay? So the sophomores, the 10th graders, were supposed to be planning this banquet for the 11th and 12th graders. Still, I don't know why we did it, but we did. So we had to plan this. It was supposed to be this fancy banquet. We had it. We used to have a Radisson Hotel right up on Gibson, right there by the airport. The Radisson Hotel. When they said the Radisson, we were like, ooh, fancy, right? We were just thinking this is going to be the fanciest place we've ever been. We had a banquet. We had the big round tables, and it was going to be fancy. And we brought in a special speaker. I think he came all the way from Rio Rancho. I mean, this was a huge deal for us. And he was a youth pastor up there, and we were all, we borrowed people's suits. We didn't have suits, or we just didn't, we didn't really dress up much and have much experience. I borrowed somebody's suits. I borrowed my, I think it was the same suit that I borrowed for my grandpa's funeral. It was too big. It didn't fit right. It kind of felt awkward on me. But we're trying to fit in. We're trying to make it look really fancy and everything. And when you're in 10th grade, it matters what people think about you. Now that you're an adult, if you're an adult, you probably don't care so much anymore. But back then, it mattered. And if you don't fit in, it's that people talk about you. People make fun of you, and you'll never live it down. That day, I was mowing the lawn because it was a Friday, and that was my job on Fridays. We had a big lawn. I had to mow the lawn. The lawnmower stopped working, so I was trying to fix it. Turn it up on its side, and I reached around the bottom of the lawnmower, and I cranked it like that. And the blade of the lawnmower went through it and it just kind of sliced through all my fingernails. So I showed up for that banquet with a Band-Aid on each one of these fingers. Nobody had ever really taught me how to dress. And I wasn't wearing dark socks with my suit. I was wearing white socks with my black suit. And, you know, the tall ones that have the, you know, colored stripes on the top of it. And there was this girl that was there. I was really trying to impress, and I tried to sit next to her. I asked her if I could sit next to her, and trying to make all that work out. I was just trying to fit in. I was trying so hard to fit in, but I just didn't. I just didn't. Nobody had taught me how to fit in. So I got up to introduce the man to pray. And I think I've told this story before, and I got up and I read my little thing about this is Rick and Brother Rick, and he's a youth pastor here, and he came all the way down to pray. And right before I got up to say that, he whispered to me and he said, "Psst, your zipper's down." Oh. You know, for a 10th grader, I'm struggling to fit in anyway. And I'm sitting like my pants are pulled up real high. I got my white socks on. My friends are laughing at me. I could just see it. I can look over at the table over there. They're looking at me and they're laughing. You know, you can tell when people are making fun of you and they're laughing at you. And the girl I wanted to sit next to, her mom was there. She didn't even like me. So we kind of sat on opposite sides of the table. We kind of like we're next to each other, but we really weren't. It was awful. But listen, I was trying to fit in. If you're not from this country, if you're a pilgrim, if you're looking for a better country, you have a confession, and that confession is, I'm not going to worry about fitting in. I'm a stranger here. I'm a pilgrim on this earth. They tell people about the country that they're going to. They're excited about the country that they're going to. They try to convince others that the country they're going to is better than where they are. Can you imagine the pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower? Can you imagine the excitement that they must have been feeling? Okay, nervous and scared, yes, but the excitement. We're leaving this country where we don't have our freedoms, and we're going to go to this other country where there's freedom, and we'll be able to worship the Lord, and we'll be able to live and do what we're supposed to do. Can you imagine the excitement and the planning and maybe telling other people, hey, we're going to be pilgrims, we're going to this country, and maybe even trying to convince other people that, hey, you ought to come with us. The Bible says they've got a confession. They're strangers. They're pilgrims. And they declare plainly that they seek a country. Listen, they're not embarrassed about it. These people are not embarrassed to be pilgrims. They're not embarrassed to be strangers. Let me say it this way. They're not embarrassed to be Christians. They don't mind telling others about their Savior. They live a lifestyle that points people to the Savior, but they don't stop with just living the lifestyle that points people to the Savior. They tell people about the Savior. They confront people with the good news of salvation. They declare plainly that they seek a country. We don't have to code everything. And I'm not against, you know, the stickers on the back of your car. You know, there's the one that the he, and then there's the little greater than symbol. He is greater. And then there's the I on the other side of that. If you have one on the back of your car, that's fine. I'm not against that. But he must increase and I must decrease. That's what it means. There's the he, and then there's the greater symbol. You don't even know what I'm talking about. All right. And then there's the I. That's great. But let's go beyond that and tell people actually about Jesus. And then this used to be a fad on the back of cars for a while. N-O-T-W. And it was written in like really cool skater, you know, grunge type of letters. N-O-T-W. And so it took me a while to figure out what that meant. I didn't know what it meant, but it means not of this world. So it was like a witnessing tool, right? You put the sticker on the back of your car and other people know that that's a Christian. Well, that's okay to put on the back of your car, but let's don't just stop with that. Let's don't make people guess that we're Christians. People ought to just know. They declare plainly that they seek a country. Let's tell people. They're bold in their discussions about heaven because they truly believe it's where they're going. Whenever I sold lawn care and I sold credit card insurance, I wasn't a very good salesman. I would call people up and I'd say, you know, you've got this credit card and you need this death and dismemberment insurance. I didn't have it myself. I didn't know what it was. But I was trying to sell it to people. I didn't do a very good job selling that because I didn't really believe in it. But listen, if you really believe there's a place called heaven, and you're a stranger on this earth, and that's where you're going, and you really believe in it, you shouldn't have any problem telling somebody about heaven. It's the real place where you're really going. Some don't think Christians should tell people about their faith. Listen, if you had the cure to every disease known to man, but if you kept it to yourself, we would all hate you. I mean, you had the cure, but you didn't tell anybody else about it. Nobody would like you. Everybody would think, what a terrible, terrible person. But here we are. We're as Christians. We have got the plan of salvation. It's not about us. It's not that, hey, we've got it all, nobody else does. No, it's about Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. He rose again, and we can tell people about it. They declare plainly that they seek a country, how much more should we share with others how they can have eternal life and escape the punishment of hell? They declare plainly that they seek a country. What do people that are looking for a better country, what do they have? They have faith, they have a promise, they have a confession, and they have their mind made up. They have their mind made up based on God's word. The Bible says if they had been mindful from where they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. They made up their mind. They've got their mind made up. That's in verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. They made up their mind. So much of the battle of the Christian life takes place in your mind. That's why Philippians 4:8 is so important. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's the next word? Think. Think on these things. What goes on in your mind, the battle in your mind is so huge. They have their mind made up. They've decided that there's nothing this world has to offer that's better than what God has for them, and they're right. Think on these things. The devil wants your mind. He wants to win the battle for your mind, and they made their mind up. Mark 8:36, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Listen, they have their mind made up. I'm going to another country. I'm not worried about all these things here. I'm not going to be swayed. I've set my face like a flint, and I don't care if I can make more money doing this. And I don't care what people think if I tell them about Jesus. I'm just going to do what is right. They have their mind made up, and they also have a desire. The Bible says they, verse 16, but now they desire a better country. When you're looking for a better country, your wants change. Let me ask you this. We're thinking about the pilgrims getting ready to get on the Mayflower. Okay, that was a long time ago. To cross the Atlantic Ocean on a boat back then was not nearly the same thing as you might be thinking of going on a cruise or it wouldn't be a road trip, a boat trip. It wouldn't be a pleasure trip. It'd be leaving Europe, and it'd be months and maybe under deck and in the dark, and a lot of times people would get sick, and many people would die during trips like this. And so why would they be excited? Why would the pilgrims want to get on a boat for months facing danger and sickness and death? Why would they even want to do that? Why would the pilgrims want to leave their country? Why would they want to go to a better country where there was something better? They had this desire that there was something that they were looking for, and when you're looking for a better country, your wants change, your desires change. Psalm 37, verse 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's a couple ways you can take that, but I really do believe when you delight yourself in the Lord, when you draw close to God, he does change what you want. He changes your desires, and in this case, the pilgrims wanted to get on this boat where they would face sickness, and they want to go to this country where, well, yes, there's freedom, but there's a price to pay to get that freedom. And when you build a personal relationship with God, he will begin reforming your likes and your dislikes. You'll begin to like more of the things that God likes, and you'll begin to dislike more of the things that God dislikes. They have a desire. Through a personal relationship with God, God will change your desires. Eventually, God will be able to give you the things that, this is an amazing thing, God will be able to give you the things that you want. Now stop and think about this for a minute. What would you do if God could just give you anything that you wanted? Whoa! Now we know that's not the case, and we're supposed to pray for our needs, but what if God would just give you everything that you wanted? You know, kind of like rubbing the magic lamp and you have the wishes, you get anything that you wanted. Think about this. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if God would just give you everything that you wanted? Well, the Bible says that God would give you the desires of your heart. So here's what happens. As you draw nigh to God, you delight yourself in the Lord, your wants change. Your wants change to be more in line with what God wants you to want. So what happens is you start wanting, I'm losing you here, I think this is getting confusing. You start wanting what God wants you to want. And then when you pray, you're praying for something that you want, but that's the same thing that God wants you to want so he can give you what you want. Does that make a lot of sense? Okay, so they have this desire. Eventually, God will be able to give you the things you want because the things you want are the same things that God wants for you. In this case, these pilgrims, they desire a heavenly country. Their wants changed. Do we desire a heavenly country? I mean, do we really want that? I remember whenever preachers would get up, I was a teenager, 16, 15, around there, and preachers would get up and say things like, I can't wait for Jesus Christ to come back. You know, Brother Reed says it sometimes, maybe he'll come before we finish this song. And I'm thinking, no! No, please, I haven't graduated from high school yet. I haven't gone to college yet. I haven't gotten married yet. There's so many things that I want to do still, and no, I don't want that. But, you know, as I've lived my life, my desires have changed. As hard times come, as challenges happen, and as there's more people in heaven than I know, my desires have changed. So now, whenever I think, you know, God, I would love for you to come, and like the writer of Revelation says, even so come, Lord Jesus. There's a point where your desires begin to change. Let me ask you this. Do you desire a heavenly country? We ask people a lot. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Let me ask you this. If you were to die today, would you want to go to heaven? Well, of course, because the other alternative is not very good. I understand that. But do you desire the better country? Here we've got these Old Testament saints, and the Bible says they're pilgrims on this land. They're strangers here, and they desire a better country. They desire a heavenly country. I'm glad to be an American, but I'm looking forward to living in heaven. There's some things in our country that won't be in heaven. Revelation 21:4, the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Listen, there's a lot of things that we have to deal with. America's a great place, but they won't be in heaven. There's no sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying in heaven. You know, there's so many people that have gone on before us to heaven. There's a lot of reasons to desire this better country. Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Have you thought about who that great cloud of witnesses is? I just happen to think it's those who have gone before. The great cloud of witnesses, I guess it could be angels, but I think we're talking about the saints. I think we're talking about those people that we used to know here on this earth, but they're in heaven now. Maybe a grandma or a grandpa, mom or dad or somebody that we love, and they're in heaven. Listen, there's so many people that are in heaven. They've gone to heaven before us. There's a lot to look forward to. I want to remind you this morning, this country that we're talking about, heaven, is worth desiring. They desire a heavenly country. There's some things that won't be there. There's some things and some people that will be there. Listen, they desire a heavenly country. The longer you live and the more you face this life and the more you struggle and the more you face sickness and the more you face death and the more funerals you go to and the more people that you lose and the more people that go on to heaven, the sweeter heaven gets. They desire a better country. What else? Well, this is the last one. They have faith. They have a promise, they have a confession, they have their mind made up, they have a desire, but this is probably the biggest one. They have a God. They have a God. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. I love that. He's not ashamed to be called their God. Well, there's a lot here. He's a prepared God. The Bible said he hath prepared for them a city in my Father's house. Jesus said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Just think about this. God loves you so much. Not only did he die on the cross and pay for your sins, but he's preparing a place for you. Wow. Now, we don't think about it a whole lot. And sometimes it crosses, kind of gets fuzzy where reality and myth kind of, we don't know if it's a real story or not, just because I don't know if it's our culture or what. Somebody gets up and talks and preaches about heaven and we're trying to figure out, is he telling the truth or not? Yes, this is so true. And sometimes we just got to stop and read it again. Just go back through and read it again. We get so busy with this life and there's so many people that cause us to doubt whether the Bible is true or not. And we just start to wonder, but listen, he prepared a place for you. He's a prepared God. But I think even bigger than that to me is this. He's a personal God. He is not ashamed to be called their God. Have you ever been embarrassed by somebody that just wanted to hang around you? Maybe a little brother, a little sister? And they just wanted to hang around you all the time. I remember my brother was 8 years younger than me, and everywhere I'd go, he would go. And sometimes, not often, but sometimes I was just kind of embarrassed that he wanted to be around me all the time. Have you ever been the one that embarrassed the other one? Right? I've been the embarrasser, too. I understand that my friend's trying to ditch me and go somewhere else because I was embarrassing them. Think about this. God is not ashamed to be called your God. Think about this. How shameful would it be for God to spend time with me, with sinful people like me? To think that God would even want to spend time with me, that blows me away. I'm a sinful person. You're a sinful person. And for God to, that would be the ultimate embarrassment, that he would even want to spend time with me. But the Bible says he's not ashamed to be called their God. He's chosen to not be ashamed to be associated with us. God wants to be your God. What an amazing thought that the same God who created everything with his voice wants to have a personal relationship with you. Wow! He wants to be your God. He paid the price for your sin by allowing Jesus to die on the cross for you. God wants to be your personal Savior. Hebrews 11, 16, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. And I'm done. Have you, or are you on your way to a better country? Have you accepted God's free gift of eternal life? I'm assuming most people here today have. If you haven't, you need to. You just need, listen, you need to. There's this. If this is the best that you're ever going to know, you're going to miss out on so much. If America, then America is a wonderful place, but if America is the best that you're going to see in eternity, and after you die, you spend eternity separated from God in hell, this is the best you'll ever see. It's going to be terrible from after that. Listen, you need to accept God's free gift of eternal life. Christian, are you living more for this life or for the one that will last forever? Which one are you living for? Are you like one of these pilgrims? You desire a better country? You looking for a better country? Don't get so comfortable here. We have a comfortable place. We have freedom. We have everything that we need. Don't get so comfortable here that you forget about the better country. You forget about the heavenly country. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach about heaven just a little bit. Lord, I pray that you would remind us that this is not where we're going to be forever. This is just a short time. We're just passing through. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live for eternity. I pray that you'd help us to live with heaven in mind. I pray that you'd help us to live with eternity in mind. Help us to live for you.